In this direct voice talk, Brother Boniface speaks on the subject of reincarnation. He had previously asked if there were any questions that we would like to ask him. So I put to him the problem that some people had to face when they began to turn over in their minds or to examine reincarnation. And here is Brother Boniface to tell you something about it.
The first one that we'd like to ask you is to do with reincarnation. We accept the fact that reincarnation has been established. New life in our world is created by physical means. Could you say something about how it is possible for someone to return from your world, from the spirit world, to this on earth world? How a spirit is able to take on another earth life?
This is a question which in itself has many answers, because so much depends on the circumstances of the individual. I am referring, of course, to the individual on this side who feels the need to reincarnate, or the person on this side who has been chosen to reincarnate for a specific reason or purpose, or to do a certain work. Reincarnation, as some people imagine, is not necessarily automatic. Indeed, there are many souls on this side of life who have no desire whatsoever to reincarnate into your world. Invariably, it is a matter of choice. Invariably, a person may feel that it is necessary for them to assimilate experience and knowledge which perhaps only the earth can give. And in consequence, they choose to return and they wait their moment of time so that they may find a child to be born under certain circumstances, perhaps in a particular condition of life which would best suit the purpose. Now this naturally presupposes that before birth there is no life, that is, of the individual. I would like to try, if I can, to explain that this is not always so. In fact, I realize that in answering this question, I'm going to raise many points and queries, and perhaps in some quarters cause some consternation, because it is generally assumed by most people who have interest in this truth that the spirit is conceived, if I can so explain it or express it, at the time of the physical bringing into life of the individual, birth of the body coinciding with, as it were, birth of the spirit. There is no evidence to support the fact that the individual body houses the individual spirit of a child. In other words, what I'm trying to convey here is that from the physical point of view, a body, a child born into your world, does not necessarily house a spirit that has been conceived, as it were, at the time of the physical birth. The physical birth in itself is a necessary contribution towards the development or the unfoldment of the spirit. It is the house which the spirit inhabits. But we must not consider that the spirit itself is an individual. I think it's important to realize that the spirit is something which is not in the same sense tangible as the physical material body. The spirit can be contained or housed in an etheric body, or in the case of the material, a material body. But the spirit is not limited. The body of the flesh gives it opportunity to develop and unfold itself or to express itself. And therefore, one must not necessarily assume that at the physical birth a new spirit is born. In many instances, a new spirit does come into being, or shall we say the power of the spirit is manifest in the material body and begins to unfold and develop itself through experience. But quite often, the spirit that houses, that is contained or housed in the material body, can be an old spirit, that is, one that has been on earth many times and inhabited many bodies at different periods of time. And it may well be that the spirit chooses to return to do a specific work. Most of the great prophets, most of the great teachers, great seers, were what are termed old souls who chose to return in physical bodies for a definite purpose, to do a kind of work which could only be done under the conditions or circumstances of that material life which presented itself to them. You have extraordinary cases, of course, in point, of individuals who remember, even when on earth, certain things appertaining to a previous existence. And I think the cases are well authenticated. But we must remember that the spirit itself, though it may take shape and form and outward appearance, it cannot be only accepted, cannot be only understood in one sense, unfortunately, on earth, because of the limitations of the mind, the limitations of the material life. It is almost impossible for man, while under those conditions, to conceive of an individual spirit having, as it were, many different forms or different shapes. In other words, the spirit, when it has progressed through many conditions of life, can assume, by the mere process of thought, many astral bodies, or many bodies which are recognizable, so that in different ways a spirit may seem to be and may be recognized as various people. But all these different facets, because that's exactly what they are, of the soul or the spirit, are recognizable in many ways, but they are all of the same spirit. It is useless, of course, for us to talk about the power of the Holy Spirit or the infinite spirit. It's useless for us to talk about the oneness of the spirit or the brotherhood of man or the many other phrases which are used to express what really fundamentally are group cells. Every individual belongs to a group, and these groups develop accordingly and become, although separate individuals, part of the whole. I think it's so important to remember and realize this. There are many changes that take place, and I think the subtlety of these changes is such that while man is on earth, he cannot appreciate or understand or recognize them. When a child is born into your world of a family, it is natural while on earth to assume that that child is part of that family, that he is the son, or as the case may be, the daughter, and the mother and the father are the natural developers, as it were, of the individual or the individual body. But in a sense, that is the least important part of it. Because you have a family, and because of the family links and ties, often a child is swamped materially, because so far humanity has not recognized or realized that the mere process of birth in itself, though vital and important, is by no means the reality. You are brought into the world, into a family, but actually the whole of the family is not necessarily of the same spiritual family. Often in a family on earth you'll see vast differences between children in their very nature and in their very mind and way of life, in their outlook. Perhaps one will be looked upon as the black sheep of the family, who seems to do all the things that are so utterly wrong in the eyes of the others. You'll find that parents will be amazed that in spite of all the love and affection and care given to a family, that there will be often one who seems to be completely at odds, completely different. In other words, the material aspect of family, though it has its place and purpose, and is in itself a good thing, a vital thing, is by no means the reality. Because a man and a woman create does not mean to say that they themselves have made the main contribution to the individual. They have created the physical aspect, but the spiritual aspect, the reality, the indestructible part, has no, in a sense, connection with them. Of course, one could say that children do take after their parents quite often, but often it is more of a physical nature, and if it is that they take after their parents, it's often due to the fact that they are instilled from birth into thinking like the father and the mother and the rest of the family. But as soon as they break away, the children, from the family and start to make their own way of life, quite often, in spite of what has been instilled in them, they begin to develop their own personality much more acutely, much more strongly. And quite often, in certain instances, I think it has been proved over and over again, remarkable achievements are made by the least likely, it seems, individuals. Often these are the old souls that have returned into a family, and they have developed and have reached an adult age, and from that they begin to break away and assert that for which they were sent to do a certain work. Then you have the infant prodigy, the child who, perhaps born in humble circumstances with no background to denote the talent that is obviously there, will all of a sudden, even at such a young age, will prove himself an artist from the point of view of a musician, or in some other way, much to the surprise of the family. Often these souls are individuals who have chosen to return deliberately so that they may have the opportunity to bring into the world something which is creative, which will bring infinite blessings to mankind. And often the music that they bring is not always, in a sense, though earthly, from the point of view that the composition is played by earthly instruments, yet the power that is behind it is of the spirit. There are so many different aspects to this whole interesting subject that one hardly knows where to begin or how to commence to give forth isolated incidents. But all I can say on this point is, that really matters, that those who choose to return invariably choose to return to do a specific work that will help not only themselves, but more often the peoples of their time and age to which they have returned. All the great teachers, the great prophets, the great messiahs, without exception, were old souls who had chosen to return, often born in the humblest of circumstances, to do a great work, to set a flame that should light the way, obviously, for many generations to come. The unfortunate thing is, of course, that men with this material aspect and mind invariably attaches to it the simple truth, attaches to it all forms of mysticism, all sorts of things which have no strength, no reality, and much suffering sometimes ensues unnecessarily. But truth is always simple. Often people assume that truth must be complex, but the fundamentals of truth are simplicity. And in reincarnation, which so many people have complicated because they have never really understood it, is the answer to many problems, and its basic truth is simplicity. Because bodies in themselves, as such, are merely vehicles of expression of the power of the Holy Spirit. And though there is the individual spirit, it is as one progresses that one becomes more and more conscious of being in tune with infinite spirits, infinite numbers of cells, and in some strange way we are so linked and so much in harmony that we ourselves, to some extent, can and do lose what the world would call, the earth world would call, identity. What is important to the earth is identity, is personality and character and so on. All these things which are so vital to you can be and are vital to us, but at the same time we realize that we grow by sinking ourselves and losing, in a sense, ourselves in the infinite. We become, as it were, less and less material in our outlook and ideals. We become more and more spiritual. We become more and more conscious of the reality of the power of the Spirit that flows through all of us, that brings us together and holds us together, and indeed makes it so that we are one. I think the ultimate is the oneness of Spirit. The idea of identity and personality is vital, is important, and we can assume it, we can take it upon ourselves and remember it and become it again, if it need be. But it's only because man assumes that he must retain his personality that we ourselves often deliberately come to you and assume, though in a sense we are very conscious of the fact that we are more than what we seem. We are not just an individual, we are more than an individual, we are part of a complete whole. We are, as it were, beyond the material idea and conception. Shape and form, which are important to you, are important in a sense to us, but not in the same sense. We are not in a three-dimensional world, we are in a four-dimension. Perhaps these things seem inexplicable. Perhaps some of the things which I and others may try and explain to you are beyond comprehension, and indeed, in some senses, perhaps difficult to understand, and with some people probably impossible to accept, and to some people, no doubt, will feel that this is completely opposite against what they themselves desire or wish or believe. But if we are to progress, I know from experience the only hope of progression is when one forgets self and gives oneself completely in love and in service to doing the work of the infinite. We don't retain, in a sense, personality. If we retain it, or if we assume it, which perhaps is more correct to say, is because in a sense we have got beyond it. It is only the material conception of things that makes it necessary for us to assume shape or personality. We have developed far, far from it. When we return to Earth, either in this sense of communication or whether it is in a physical body and reincarnated state, we take upon shape and form, but it is done with a deliberate intention and purpose, not necessarily for self as such, although in the process of serving we are in a sense developing and evolving ourselves, but always when one begins to progress, it is when one seeks less for self and more for the rest of humanity, to give out love, to give out knowledge, to give out experience, to give out truth. We ourselves must give completely of ourselves. We must lose ourselves in the desire for service and in working for that which is good. When we assume a shape or a form, when we come back into a body, we take on and we develop what seems to be on the surface a personality. But that is a personality which serves a purpose in a given space of time. But what is important is what lies behind it, beyond it, the driving force, the vital spiritual power that is expressing itself for that moment of time, and serving that moment of time, and serving the peoples of that time. We ourselves are beyond time and space, and we have lost, in a sense, the sense of what the world would call reality, because we are no longer concerned with the physical, the material as such. We are concerned with the things of the spirit which are indestructible, which are beyond time and space. We have assimilated knowledge and we have in consequence progressed to spheres far removed from the conception of man or the idea of man, in which time and space mean nothing, in which we ourselves can and do, if necessary, assume shape or form, sometimes realizing it is necessary to do a certain work on a certain sphere, whether it's earth or otherwise. But we know that these shells of astral and material, are, in a sense, but the outer covering which serves the purpose of the moment of time. That is why man himself, if he is to realize truth, if he is to realize himself in the true sense, will not be content with that which he knows of his particular moment of time, but will seek deeper and further, and realize in consequence that he is expressing in his own moment of earthly existence aspects of himself and the world of the spirit far removed, and yet at the same time ever present. And man does not confine himself, as so often men do. Even men of high intellect, as you term it, and religious beliefs and convictions, even they refuse. Even they sometimes, by the very nature of their knowledge, and the very nature perhaps of their religious calling, inhibit the true flow of the spirit. They inhibit themselves in their spiritual aspiration and growth, because of strong preconceived ideas that often have no true basis in reality. True religion is far more than that which the earth acknowledges and that which the earth accepts. True religion is the giving of self completely and forgetting those things which in themselves can do little good, in fact often can be a hindrance. It is not the narrow conception of religion or the narrow conception of the Christ or any of the great prophets or teachers that matters. It is when you receive within yourself the full realization of the purpose and the meaning. Christ himself understood this. He understood how the body itself, serving its purpose, was in itself inconsequential, that time meant nothing, that the power of the Holy Spirit was manifest through him, that what appeared material to the peoples of the earth, although he to some extent accepted the material things, he knew that it was possible to overcome them. He could overcome all the laws, as you term it, of nature, because he knew that the laws of nature, when properly understood, could be affected, and in some senses could even be controlled. The things that people term mysteries or miracles are not mysteries or miracles to those who understand natural law. He understood these things. The great prophets and teachers of old, who are incarnated into the world for a definite reason and purpose, they knew that the astral, the material body in itself, was merely a vehicle of God's expression, that they could use it for the purposes for which they'd been sent, to show to mankind the possibilities for themselves if they dared and cared to make the effort to follow. Christ understood these things. All the great prophets and teachers understood. You know, I think the whole problem is that people in your world cannot grasp the inner realization, the inner meaning of these truths. It seems as if they must always cloak them in a material ideal and conception which has no basis in reality. Christ was not concerned with a material kingdom. He was concerned with the kingdom of heaven. He was concerned with the things which were of the spirit, which were indestructible. But he knew the power that could be wielded while yet in a material body by using the power of the spirit that was manifest. All the things that he achieved, he realized others could do if they had the same faith, the same power, the same realization. For he himself said, greater things than these should you do. Yet no man hath since done greater things, and yet all have the power within them, once they realize the power of the spirit that inhabits the physical body, that can overcome all its complications and difficulties. There is nothing impossible to the power of the spirit, but man's ignorance of these truths inhibits and prevents him. There are no barriers to those who would use the powers of the spirit once they have overcome the foolishness that lies within themselves and the ignorance. Faith can make thee whole. Faith can remove mountains. And so it is that when you have this faith in the power of the Holy Spirit that is manifest in all creation, so you can overcome, so you can use that power to express God, to express the power of the Holy Spirit that is all around and about you. There are no limits, there are no barriers that cannot be broken down when you understand the natural laws of the power of the Spirit manifesting in material conditions. The material conditions themselves can be overcome. There are no barriers to those who have faith in the realization of this truth. Reincarnation is in itself a way of expressing, a way of knowledge, a way of learning. It is indeed essential. And if it were not for the reincarnated souls throughout history, I'm sure that there would be, in many senses, more ignorance than there is today. There would be less realization of the aspects of truth that we proclaim. But unfortunately, so few can assimilate the knowledge of these experiences. And they often, unfortunately, it seems to me, do not take upon themselves the true significance of the message and the truth that is given out by the prophets and the teachers. Instruments who are truly used are old souls, invariably. But most people, whether they realize it or not, are incarnated. They are not just new souls born into material family. There are those here and there, of course, who are. There are certain races of people who are less advanced, less progressed than others, who are not necessarily such old souls. But there are many, many old souls in your world today who deliberately, of their own choice and volition, come back to Earth for a purpose. One who recently came here, who was a very old soul, was Gandhi. He was a man of great insight, great intelligence, spiritual realization. But like all great prophets, all great teachers, the material conception of things meant nothing, and his life was cut short. Most, indeed, most great teachers and prophets, you'll find that their end is sudden. But that in itself is unimportant. It matters not. What matters is what effect they have had upon their time and generation, and how people have received that truth that they have imparted. And so it goes on. It's always happening. Incarnations of old souls in fresh new bodies. Because you must realize that though the physical body may seem to be and is for its time of being important, it is by no means the important part of man. It is merely the shell. It is merely the vehicle of the expression of the divine power. There are so many aspects of this subject, this truth, that it would take innumerable sessions to discuss its many aspects, its many perplexities and difficulties, because I don't suppose in any case, no matter how much we try to explain it, that the average person in your world will be able to comprehend it, certainly not in its full, but in part maybe. But we will do our best in that respect.
And that is how the talk by Brother Boniface on reincarnation came to an end.